This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, episode 108. Our assisted living facilities regulated with guest Eric Carson from Justice and Aging. The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. Hi out there. Welcome back. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are your hosts for the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. As this episode goes to air, it is March 4th. Hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, this will go to air on March 4th, which, Will, I don't know if you've encountered this at all. Of course, I don't know. You wouldn't encounter this. I'm not sure. But it's Hug a GI Day today.
I don't think we call – well, it's the GI Bill, so.
That's an excellent – I didn't think about that literally till just right now, if that only is the Army. Because you, of course, are a Marine.
No, I mean, it's the Montgomery GI Bill. I mean, it's still –
well, GI being the name for just a person that was in the military, but I don't know if that's a GI, if that's started off as...
I've never heard somebody use the term GI in the military or dealing with the VA. The only time that it's ever used is the GI Bill, when we have to you know, it pays for our college, but nobody calls anybody else GIs. It's like a World War II thing.
Right. As a Marine, do you know what GI is short for?
Government issued.
Ah, all right. Will is one of those people that, as a Marine, when he's being introduced at a party or it's somebody that doesn't know the difference or doesn't know his history, and they say, oh, you need to meet Will. Will was in the Air Force or Will was in the Army. Will is one of those type of people that instantly corrects that person and says, no, I'm a Marine.
Well, I would do that for a lot of things. I went to Augusta State University. If somebody goes, hey, I heard you went to Valdosta State, I would say, no. I went to Augusta State.
If somebody said that you went to Augusta University.
But it's two different things. It's not, if somebody said you were in the Marine Corps, I wouldn't go, well, it's Corps. I would just go, whatever. But if somebody said you're in the Air Force, no, I wasn't. I was in the Marine Corps. I mean, I guess nothing matters.
Yeah, nothing. You know? Who cares? Nothing matters.
Yeah. It's also coming up on. I almost confused those two.
Fat Tuesday
and
International Women's Day.
Yeah.
International Women's Day, March 8th, this Friday.
Yeah.
It's for all the ladies out there. Anyway.
Well, just international women. So no domestic women.
I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And no women that are not terrestrial.
Right.
This is not Intergalactic Women's Day.
Mm-mm. Just international.
So if you happen to be on the space station.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're not.
Are there any females up there?
I think there's got to be.
How many people are up there? Gene, that's something you can find out.
Gene.
All right.
So. Interesting topic. There is a lot of confusion. I always say, like, people are saying, or there's a lot, like, I mean, you as the listener, you can't verify what I'm saying, but I've seen in my experience, anecdotally, there has been confusion between the term nursing home and assisted living facility.
Mm.
And further confusion about whether or not there's a difference in terms of how they're regulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so to help us parse through these things, we have a special guest on the show. And who is that?
Today, we actually previewed this last week. We were talking to Kathy Bagby, telling her that we were going to have Mr. Carlson on today. Eric Carlson is directing attorney at Justice in Aging. Now, that is a national nonprofit legal advocacy organization that fights senior poverty through law, securing access to affordable health care, economic security, and the courts for older adults with limited resources. Mr. Carlson has over 20 years of experience in long-term care services and supports, including home and community-based services, nursing facility care, and assisted living facilities. He counsels attorneys from all across the country co-counsels impact litigation that protects long-term services and support consumers, and is the author of the very well-known, in our circles, the very well-known legal treaty Long-Term Care Advocacy, which is a very useful book for those of us that advocate through litigation on behalf of the elderly. Anyway, we are very privileged to have Mr. Carlson here today. Eric, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Great. So, Eric, as Will was just explaining to the audience, you are a directing attorney at Justice and Aging, and we kind of briefly talked about what Justice and Aging is, but can you kind of just give us a breakdown of what you guys do over there?
Sure. We use the law to benefit and protect older Americans, particularly those people who don't have very much money. So we focus a lot on Medicaid issues, for example, and long-term care issues, and on the income side, supplemental security income. And we do a lot of different work. The conversation I've had having with you would probably fall under education or consciousness raising. Mm-hmm. I do many trainings, write publications for consumers and professionals, co-counsel litigation, usually against public agencies that are making mistakes in how they handle public benefits programs. We have office in Washington, D.C., so we do administrative advocacy with federal agencies and also legislative advocacy on Capitol Hill. So just a broad variety of activities to benefit and protect older Americans. And we're a nonprofit organization, so it's about trying to provide services to the general public, not direct services. So people don't walk into our office with particular individual complaints, but we co-counsel the large litigation and then try to do our work so we benefit large numbers of people.
Right. Man, you guys are doing great stuff over there. We really appreciate it. Well, the kind of the reason why we wanted you on this episode is to talk about basically the concept of an assisted living facility and the regulations and standards that are required in operating one and the level of care that is provided in them. So we keep saying that word assisted living facility. Can you tell us what is technically or untechnically a assisted living facility, and what makes that different than the word nursing home?
Sure. It's generally considered, I'll say this and then I'll immediately reverse myself. It's generally considered a level of care less than a nursing facility. So people who aren't able to live at home, who need assistance, but who maybe don't need the around-the-clock type of nurse staffing that you get in a nursing facility. Now, I'm saying that. I'll say that it's gotten more confusing in recent years. What I said would probably apply more cleanly to things 5 or 10 years ago. But now, assisted living has more frequently people who actually need a significant amount of care. So assisted living facilities more and more are caring for people who do need some significant level of healthcare expertise, for example. So the line between a nursing facility and an assisted living facility is fuzzier than it used to be. On the technical side, there's a different licensure. If you're in a particular state, a facility has to decide whether it's licensed as a nursing facility or assisted living facility, and that has effect as far as the government programs that can pay for it. Medicare and Medicaid generally are able to pay for stays in nursing facilities, although Medicare coverage is limited, as you well know. Assisted living is much more likely to be out-of-pocket payment, mm-hmm. just from people's savings and whatnot, some from private insurance, and some from Medicaid, although that varies greatly from state to state and tends to be more limited than the Medicaid coverage you see for nursing facility care.
Yeah, I think Will brought this example up in a previous episode about when people think of nursing homes, they think of driving Miss Daisy, when that's actually probably more likely going to be an assisted living facility situation.
Yeah, because I used to work in nursing homes, and people would ask, you know, they didn't really understand what it was like. They didn't understand how hard it was, because I think most people, when they think of a nursing home, they're actually thinking of an assisted living facility where at least, and I agree with what you said, a couple of years ago, it used to be individuals that needed very little care and could primarily take care of themselves. Although I agree with you, that is changing a lot nowadays.
And so, Eric, we talk on this podcast a lot about nursing homes and the federal regulations and the Georgia regulations that govern nursing homes. But can you speak to whether or not there are federal statutes that would apply to assisted living facilities?
Yeah, the short answer is no. That you don't see federal standards hardly at all. It's in assisted living, it's generally governed by state law. So it's very state specific, and I'll just note that the terminology is going to even change from state to state. Assisted living is just this umbrella term that we toss around, but in some states these are assisted living facilities or assisted living residences. Some states they may be personal care homes. Some states they're residential care facilities for the elderly or adult foster care. So there's a tremendous amount of variation from state to state. Mm-hmm. A couple years from now, there may be some federal standards dealing with, I don't want to get too technical here, but there may be some federal regulations that have an impact on assisted living starting in 2022. But that's going to be relatively limited. It's still going to be true unless something happens in the meantime that assisted living facilities are governed by state law.
And what do you have an understanding as to why we don't have that same level of regulation governing assisted living facilities at a national level? Like, why is that the case? And actually, who's leading the charge regarding those changes that you literally just mentioned that are coming in a couple of years possibly?
Sure. That nursing facilities there's probably the biggest thing is there's been heavy involvement by federal payment sources. So going back to the beginning of Medicare and Medicaid, so into the 60s, there's been payment for nursing facility care. And then, the federal government was dissatisfied with the quality that they were getting. And of course, the constituents of Congress people were getting really poor care, and that led to a lot of pressure around this issue in the 80s, and then the enactment of the nursing home reform law in 86. So it's a large part of it, I think, is the involvement of federal money over the years, mm-hmm. and a certain standardization in the kind of care that's provided. You haven't had that level of federal reimbursement in assisted living, and you haven't had that standardization in rules or even models of care. That, yeah, if you go from state to state, there's certain similarities, but there's a significant amount of difference as well from state to state. And all of that makes it a little challenging if you were to think about a broad federal package that would wrap all the assisted living facilities up with specific quality of care rules. You asked about what's going to happen in 2022. There are home and community-based services regulations that aren't limited to assisted living, but cover all Medicaid services funded under home community-based services funding, which include assisted living, which can include adult daycare, which can, those are, for these purposes, those are maybe the most, and can include group homes and the regulations that are going to be effective in 2022 are designed to make sure that people in those settings, don't get too isolated, that they're not in settings that are overly institutional, that they're still able to get out in the community and live their lives and have freedom within the setting. And so that's the focus of those regulations that will become effective in 2022.
That makes sense. So as of this, as of today, we're as a community essentially leaving it to state agencies to regulate and enforce the regulations on assisted living facilities. So in California, for example, where you're at, what's the state agency, the state body that regulates them?
There's a Department of Social, it's under the Department of Social Services in California.
Mm, yeah, because in Georgia, it's the Department of Community Health. So that's what's, you know, you got to, it's, that's the love and hate with federalism. You know what I mean? So like you have these grand experiments in the different states, but at the same time, you know, Mr. Johnson in Georgia, you know, is falling under a different statutory scheme and a different standard of care than Mr. Johnson that's living in California.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's also a problem just in what way would the federal government have, you know, jurisdiction over a facility that didn't take any federal funds? So
that gets into that con law one,
yeah,
issue of you know, scope of the Commerce Clause, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interstate commerce. I will note that nursing facilities, it's tied to federal reimbursement, that the federal law technically doesn't cover all nursing facilities. It just governs nursing facilities that get federal money. It's right. Just that 97-98% of the facilities take the federal money. So it feels like it's just across the board, but it's actually limited to nursing facilities that participate in the federal funding programs.
So Eric, in your experience with Justice in Aging and taking on facilities and agencies, what are some of the common problems that you see in assisted living facility oversight at that state level? Like, what are some common problems that you're seeing these states have with the regulation?
Yeah, well, let me just put it in the context of things that your listeners may have to be aware of. Mm-hmm. That I think that people make the improper assumption that assisted living facilities just take care of things, you know, that they've got everything covered. If once you're in an assisted living facility, that your needs are going to be met, and that's not necessarily true. That they may have limited capacity, and depending on what state you're in, there may not be much healthcare expertise there, and you may not be, it may not be clear exactly how long you're going to be able to stay. And facilities sometimes try to cut this, to try to have it both ways. They're always talking about flexibility. When you talk about standards, the facilities will jump up and argue, well, you're killing us here, because assisted living is based on a flexible model of care. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the ability to adapt to people's needs. We're not in a regulatory straitjacket like nursing facilities, et cetera, et cetera. But it's, the standards are loose enough that oftentimes that's turns out to be to consumers' detriment, because the facilities may not be staffed very well. They may not have the expertise, or they may decide at some point that they don't want to care for somebody anymore. And depending again what state you're in, the regulations may give them the authority to make these broad statements that we cannot meet your needs any longer. So I would say that's the biggest problem, that the regulations tend to be written in very loose ways that give providers a fair amount of discretion, And if they exercise that discretion in a good way, then it's really positive. But sometimes, of course, providers don't, and consumers end up with a short end of the stick.
I have a question. I know that we've talked about, and this makes perfect sense, that regulation of a lot of facilities is tied to federal reimbursement. Is there a move out there, or are people trying to think of something other than federal reimbursement to gain federal oversight of facilities that may not get reimbursed? Like, is there a consumer protection issue, an elder law issue? I don't know. The answer may simply be no.
I can say that that among the advocacy community, I think there's more interest in focusing on federal reimbursement. It actually is broader than it used to be.
Sure.
I can't speak in every state, but the argument is easier there if you say, here's the federal government spending a significant amount of money that over two-thirds of the states now have some level of federal reimbursement for Medicaid. So there's a clear trajectory there. And then the federal government really, a tiny exaggeration here, but really doesn't know at all what's going on regarding quality of care. The state in the communications just promises the federal government that the state has it under control, that it has licensing regulations, and the feds say, okay, fine, here's X number of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And when problems come up, then at some point, the people in the federal government and in Congress say, well, what do you mean you don't know what's going on? How can you be spending this much money? How can you be in a program that's meant to set up alternatives to nursing facilities? And so we're increasingly funding assisted living and other programs as an alternative to nursing facility care. But we, the federal government, don't have any control over the quality. That doesn't seem like a good arrangement. So that's my longish answer to your question. I think from the advocacy community, the focus still is on the facility, will be on, yeah, on those facilities that get federal reimbursement, because absent that, it's just a much heavier lift to apply federal standards to every facility across the country, let's say. And the other thing is that the federal money goes exclusively to facilities that are prepared to care for people who need the equivalent of nursing facility care. So it's a little bit easier to talk about higher standardized standards there, because those are people by definition who have some pretty significant care needs.
Yeah. So what are some of the major problems that you're seeing with assisted living facilities from like a system or an institutional level? Like, for example, like, do you see a lot of assisted living facilities advertising themselves at a certain level of care, and then in reality, like you said, the families are confused and don't realize that this is not a nursing home. Their level of care being provided is not going to be as high. Like, something along those lines in terms of, you know, assisted living facilities not living up to the bargain or doing something wrong that you're seeing that's common.
Yeah, I think you in the worst situations, you see some of the same kind of problems you see in nursing facilities, that you and your listeners might be certainly familiar with some of the standard nursing facility problems, the dehydration or the bed sores, falls, issues like that, medication issues, medication mistakes. So you may see problems like that in assisted living, in part because you don't have the same level of healthcare expertise that you're going to get in a nursing facility. And those problems can happen in a nursing facility, and then of course they can happen in assisted living as well. So that's the sort of thing you see that may give you real horror stories, where the need of the resident far outstrips the true capacity of the facility. They're over their head. They're not competent. Maybe they knew they weren't competent, or maybe they, it just got away from them a little bit. And that's where you see issues. And the regulatory system, again, it varies from state to state, may not be up to it because it may not include the same level of healthcare expertise. And then finally, sometimes the management may not be up to it as well. Yeah, nursing facilities, for better or for worse, come from a healthcare background, and you tend to have people around there who are familiar with healthcare. Some of the assisted living people come from the hospitality industry, the hotel folks, or real estate people, and don't necessarily have the background in healthcare.
Right, right. Well, all that being said, what would you, other than, you know, just having a sit down and making sure that the family understands exactly what's going to happen to their loved one, what are some of the most important factors to consider when looking for an assisted living facility?
I would pull the public file and see, again, how useful this is going to vary from state to state, mm-hmm. but pull the public file and see what deficiencies there are. I would have the conversation with the facility about specifically about the particular person that's interested in moving in and what the person's needs are and what they can do. Get some specificity about what they can care for and what they can't care for, and just be more intentional in talking about care needs. I think in a lot of the long-term care facility situations, people don't focus on those things. It seems difficult. They end up walking around and trying to judge how well the building is maintained and whatnot. And it's better to dig into the nitty-gritty a little bit and talk about healthcare, about incontinence, about assistance with activities of daily living. Just some real routine basic issues that come up in a long-term care setting, and try to take the temperature of the facility. And they should be able to have those conversations. They should be able to talk about their training and their capacity. And again, people don't do that. They don't look far enough down the road. And I understand it's easier for me to say that than it is for people to do it in practice. But I do think you have to be a smart consumer about these things and be relatively clear-eyed about what the future might hold, and to think about those things and talk about them. And then also, you know, talk with other people in the community. The best case scenario, right? Oftentimes people don't have this time, but it's a big decision. It's an important decision. And if people spend days or weeks or whatnot figuring out what car, television, to whatever to purchase, then they might want to put that level of focus on the long-term care facility as well, because it does make a big difference. And it's important to, if you can go into that decision with some resources, and with enough time to be able to make some choices.
Yeah, 100%, man. And I think you hit the nail on the head that if you're spending time figuring out what is the best car for you, or where to go on vacation, or any other of the number of things that we can do nowadays as consumers with the internet, and in addition to getting up and going somewhere and you know, checking things out, then you should be able to do that for your loved one. I mean, you wouldn't put your child in a daycare that you didn't set foot in or you didn't do some investigation on. And the same thing goes with our parents and our, you know, our elderly relatives. I really am a huge advocate for people really digging into the place. Go there. Talk to the residents. Talk to the staff. Talk to other people. Yeah, 100% with you on that.
Eric, I understand, like, you're not going to, like, your organization is not going to just represent anybody off the street. But if anybody has any questions for you or for your organization, how can they get in contact with you?
Probably email's the easiest. Mm-hmm. And it's for, you know, first initial last name, E. Carlson, ECARLSON, at justiceinaging.org. Also, I'll give a plug to a publication that we should have revised within the next month, I would hope at least. It's currently on our website as 20 Common Nursing Home Problems and How to Resolve Them. And the new version is 25 Common Nursing Home Problems and How to Resolve Them. And it's written, and it just needs to be fine-tuned a bit and laid out. So people can look for that in the very near future.
And we'll have that on the screen so people can see it.
Yeah, and we've also, and it's not something quite as friendly to the regular non-attorneys with loved ones in a nursing home, but we also gave a plug to the Legal Treaty Long-Term Care Advocacy with the Matthew Bender and Company. That's a big deal for all the attorneys out there. I think it's probably something that can also be useful to ombudsmen. It's just a monster of a book on touching every issue of long-term care advocacy. So it's extremely useful.
Oh, great. I appreciate hearing that.
Well, great, Eric. Thank you very much for coming on the show. That's a lot of great information for our listeners out there. You've got certainly a lot of expertise in this. We'll probably have you back on the show some point.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Go ahead.
That'd be my pleasure.
And keep fighting the good fight, Eric. We really appreciate it.
I will do that. You too.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Do we have multiple copies of that book, right? The legal advocacy book.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. But that's more geared towards, as you said, the legal community.
Yeah. And it's also interesting that there are two Carlsons that have in-depth treaties on legal issues.
Wait, don't tell me. Evidence.
Yep.
Oh,
Carlson on Evidence.
I knew it. And that's not even an edit either. Like, it's not like we stopped it and I looked it up.
Yeah.
Because I have that Horn book.
Yeah. Carlson on Evidence and Carlson's Long-Term Care Advocacy.
Yeah. I feel like we covered all the fun stuff at the beginning of the episode.
We did.
Like Hug a GI. There's really nothing.
Tuesday for Mardi Gras.
Nowhere else for us to go
right now.
International Women's Day, is that's not the socialist. Like, I always forget this. It has a socialist background to it.
I think International Workers?
It's International Workers' Day is May 1, which I want to say that was the genesis of that was the Haymarket riot. But Women's Day, I can't remember if that was started because of a something that happened to women in a factory.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I always forget.
I feel like most international things are more socialistic.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So I guess that's going to conclude this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can catch new episodes every Monday morning on your favorite podcast application, or you can choose to watch the episodes. Mm-hmm. And you can do that either on YouTube or on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. We highly recommend that you go check out 25 Common Nursing Home Problems.
Absolutely.
And read it and put it to everyday use. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.